Welcome to Member Care Media. This is the second part of our series on singleness with Reverend Tim Herbert. Welcome, Tim. It's so good to have you with us.
Hi, nice to be back again.
Today we will look at some examples of singles in the Bible and how we can relate to these in the 21st century. Is there a particular single person in the Bible, Tim, that you relate to?
Well, obviously the answer has to be Jesus, doesn't it? It's always Jesus, whatever the question. But funnily enough, when I am doing workshops and asking people to list all the single people in the Bible that they can think of, Jesus is one of the last ones that they come up with. And yet he's the supreme example of being a fruitful single person. Sometimes we lose the perspective of that because we don't see his humanity for his divinity. But in his day, being a single man of his age was almost unheard of, unless you were a member of the Essenes or some religious order like that. And to be a rabbi and unmarried was extremely countercultural, but he seems to have been accepted as a rabbi. And he also had some very positive, affirming, and committed relationships with men, women, and children in a supportive community. So he seems to have done his singleness extremely well.
You're actually right. Jesus was not the first I was thinking of when thinking about singles in the Bible. So is there anyone else?
Well, I find Daniel is a very interesting example. We don't necessarily think about Daniel as being a single man, but he was quite possibly a eunuch as well. It was the practice of the Babylonian monarchs to make their captives eunuchs because by doing so, they ensured their loyalty. If you have a top official who has access to all the state secrets and all the state power, he's not going to overthrow the king if he can't start a dynasty of his own. Also, as somebody who doesn't have children, a eunuch is going to be dependent on the king in his old age because he hasn't got family to look after him. So it turned out that the eunuchs were some of the most loyal and faithful servants of the kings. So Daniel has got on with this life and become a great success in his ministry whilst being unmarried. Also, there are people like Paul and possibly Jeremiah as well, who are good examples of what it means to be a successful single.
Well, being a female myself and knowing that most of our listeners are female, there has to be the next question. Who are some of the prominent female singles in the Bible?
Well, that's quite an interesting question because generally in the Bible, the women don't feature as prominently as the men do. And that's largely because the story was written by men, for men, about men. And we need to do a bit of digging to redress that balance. The most obvious single woman in the Bible is Mary, the mother of Jesus, who appears to have been widowed at an early age, and church history does not talk about her ever being remarried. The same goes of Mary Magdalene, and we find her appearing in the Gospels far more frequently than any other woman, and indeed more frequently than some of the disciples. And there is no indication that she was married. Lydia, the seller of purple dye, may well have been a single woman as well, as were Mary and Martha. So there are people that we've got reasonable grounds to believe are single, although we're not specifically told about it. And the main point is that the New Testament is not concerned so much about their marital status, but about their discipleship. And so they're featured in there because they are prominent disciples rather than because they are single or because they are married. But all of these people are mentioned on their own without being named by a husband. And a lot of the women who we do find who are married are named as the wife of so-and-so or named with their husband. So these ones are quite unusual in the fact that no husband is mentioned. Therefore, we believe they must either be unmarried or widowed.
So then actually the first thing we can learn from the Bible is that it's not about your status, but it is about who you follow.
Absolutely. That's far more what the Bible is concerned about. And if you look at the writings of Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, he makes this point quite clearly. And he says, if you were single when you became a Christian, stay single. If you were married when you became a Christian, stay married. The marital statement is not the point. The point is, how do we serve God in whatever situation we are?
So why do you think that nowadays this status has become so important?
I think over the centuries, the church has bought into a much more worldly approach to life than was originally in the New Testament. So, for example, in the early days of the New Testament, a lot of people went out as singles to do mission. We find stories of deacons and monks and nuns who were single, and singleness was considered quite important as a way of devoting your life primarily to God. And that's exactly what Paul says. He says, a married woman's busy about pleasing her husband. A single woman can devote herself to pleasing the Lord. So it's a different perspective. And I think the church has bought into a much more worldly perspective that is about reproducing, having a family, having an inheritance. And we'll come on to that again later on in a subsequent recording as we think about the theology of singleness.
In our program, we really want to help our listeners to thrive in their singleness. So what do you think can we learn from these examples of singles in the Bible for us personally?
I think the first thing that we can learn is that we don't have to wait to be married to have a significant ministry. You think about all these people who I've just mentioned who had prominent roles and got on with life and were fulfilled and creative and serving God effectively without having to wait until they got married for their status to be enhanced. I think the second thing that we can be inspired by is the example of Daniel and that reference to being a eunuch. Now, Jesus mentioned that in Matthew 19 and talks about some people choosing to be eunuchs for the Lord. I don't think anybody means that seriously. He's using it as a metaphor, but it's talking about living a celibate lifestyle as a commitment to the Lord. And I connected those two in my mind and thought, actually, this is an opportunity for us to use our singleness to be some of the most loyal and devoted followers of the great king in the way that Daniel was a very effective minister on behalf of the king of Babylon. So that inspired me that I can be one of the Lord's most dedicated and passionate followers because I have no domestic issues to distract me from that. And I think we can be aware that when you are married, you do have to invest time and energy and finance into your relationship with your husband or wife, and also into bringing up your children well. And that takes an awful lot of resources that I personally am very happy to be able to invest in serving God.
There's one question that while I was listening to you that was running through my head, because I don't want any of our listeners to have this unanswered. So if I am a single listening in and I do struggle with my status as a single, does that mean that I'm not a devoted follower of Jesus Christ?
Of course not. I think we all have aspects of our singleness that we struggle with. We struggle with loneliness. We struggle with standing out in the crowd. And particularly for those of us who are mission workers in other continents, a single adult is a very unusual occurrence. And so there are a lot of issues there that we have to grapple with on a regular basis. The sad thing is that sometimes those issues can become so big in our minds that they overshadow who we are and what we can do for and with the Lord. And what I try to do when I'm working through single issues with single people is to be able to diffuse a lot of the tension that is behind those so that we can live effectively, fruitfully, and thrive in our singleness rather than simply coping with it.
Can you give us an example?
I think we'll come on to that in some of our future broadcasts, but say, for example, with our sexuality. For a lot of us, we are very alone knowing that we don't have that one specific special person who knows our whole history and is there to support us through thick and thin. But one of the strategies that I've developed for coping with that is to build a series of committed relationships with people, married and single, who are male and female, adult and child, who form a community around me. That means I'm not so dependent on looking to that one person for all my support needs, because I get my support needs met across a wider community.
Very good. Let's come for the last question of this program, back to the singles in the Bible. I think one of the big issues when reading the Bible is we put these people on pedestals and think they never struggled. They had it all together. So is there a single that we know in the Bible struggled with that status?
I think we know of more people who struggled with their marital status, to be honest.
That's right.
We're not told about their deep inner feelings about it. We know that in the Old Testament, to be single was extremely rare, and people must have struggled with it. We get stories of people like Ruth, for example, who was very much on her own after her husband and her brother-in-law had died and only had Naomi with her. And the whole emphasis of that story is actually not her thriving in her singleness, but her acquiring a husband and a child and having the happy ending. But in the midst of that, she must have struggled with feeling alone and vulnerable and isolated and having nobody to protect her. And I think that's a perfectly normal dynamic for any single person to be in that situation.
Let's end with a very personal question. When you have times where you struggle with your singleness, what's the passage in the Bible that you turn to?
What I try to do when I find difficulties is to take my eyes off myself and my own problems and to look at Jesus, because it's him that I'm here for. And out of that, I try to remember what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, he says, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. Now, I know he's talking about his financial circumstances in that particular situation, but I can imagine that applied throughout Paul's life, that whatever was happening, however he felt, he learned a contentment. And I think that learning is an important thing. It's not just a natural disposition. He's saying by implication, there were times when I may not have been content in all circumstances, but I've learned. And I think he learned by recognizing that the whole point of his life was to be a servant of the Lord. And it wasn't his own fulfillment or his own happiness or his own marriage or anything like that. It was actually, how can I live my life for Christ?
Thank you very much, Tim, for expanding my and our view on this issue in such an intriguing way. I'm very much looking forward, actually, to our next program, in which you will explore the theology of singleness with us.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.